W-D-E-N-P-C.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We could leave any day, call for help. We were guides, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out.
Evening, because I live by the motto of death to UGA. I don't want anything good to happen for Georgia football, but I grew up as a person who hated Notre Dame with a passion. Those two teams play yesterday in a less than thrilling game. Credit to Notre Dame for finding a way to scrap away and get a win. They had a sequence that spanned about like 60 seconds of game time where they forced a fumble, score a touchdown, and on the kickoff to start the second half, they returned it for a touchdown, and that pretty much was the ball game. What did it go from 13 or 6-3 to 20-3, and that was ball game. Kirby Smart decided to, in a close game, to try to drive down for points with Gunnar Stockton at quarterback late in the first half, and that backfired because his tackles couldn't protect. Strip sack, fumble led to a touchdown, and then, as I said, kick return. So that game was over in about a minute, thanks to Notre Dame making plays on special teams and defense. I didn't know who to root for. I always like to pick a side when I don't have a real rooting interest, just to make the game more interesting. A lot of people use gambling to do that. You can go to MyBookie for that type of vibes. But for me, I just wanted to watch the game and go, hey, I got to pick a side. It's tough. I mean, it's Notre Dame or Kirby Smart. How do I pick a side? And I decided to just watch the game and not pick a side and see how it came to be. And how it came to be is Notre Dame can win a game where the quarterback throws for under 100 yards. So we talked about it. Is Notre Dame actually entering a college football playoff semifinal for the first time with a better quarterback? By numbers, Gunnar Stockton played better if we just go by passing yards. But Riley Leonard didn't make any giant mistakes. He moved the ball on the ground with his legs. He was Notre Dame's leading rusher. And he did just enough with the help of the defense and special teams. So I'll ask you this, Sean. Now that we know who the quarterbacks will be in the semifinal, and with this new format, now we're down to what we've been used to since 2014. Is this the most bus rider filled college football playoff when it comes to quarterbacks? Like, Quinn Ewers is, at least coming into the year, was the best draft prospect. He had the best moment of all these quarterbacks so far with his throw to Golden to tie the game. Drew Aller, people look at as a potential pro prospect, maybe a first-day pick. He is coming back. But I guess I will ask a couple questions. Could you swap all four, just blind swap, and have them land on a team, and would there be much difference between how the teams performed? We'll start there. If you blind, if you just randomly put a guy on each team, would there be much of a difference?
I think the difference would just be like, oh, we have to like
they play differently.
Change, yeah, we'd have to change the way we play.
Like, could Texas?
Because like Riley Leonard and Quinn Ewers like don't play anything.
Exactly.
Like.
So could Texas be a playoff team if they had to play with Riley Leonard? Could they run the ball enough? Could they run him? You know, the stuff they thought they would do with Arch. Could they actually go full in on that with Riley Leonard?
I don't know.
And when and make the playoff and get to a semifinal with him at quarterback because of where their strength lies when it comes to their wide receivers, I kind of doubt it, actually.
Yeah, they kind of need to be able to
throw the ball. Yes. I which, think for them, you could not swap Riley Leonard.
Yeah.
I think
which
you could,
is only true for half the field where they kind of need to throw the ball.
Yeah.
The two teams that play each other in Miami, they don't really need to
they
throw the
really
ball.
They don't really need to. I think Drew Aller would be fine with Texas or with
I think
Ohio State.
Aller, Howard, and Quinn
could swap.
Are the most swappable.
They could go play for any one of the four and be okay. Riley Leonard is the outlier. I'm not sure he could thrive any place else than where he's thriving.
Yeah, I mean, like,
well, could Penn State just turn themselves into a?
That's what I was thinking.
Maybe Penn State. Maybe they're good enough because of their two backs and Allen and Singleton to just have Leonard pick up key first downs, his legs, not screw up, and win games that way.
Yeah, because the issue with like Ohio State, like they you would look at them and be like, I don't know, they could kind of Cardale Jones it with Riley Leonard. It's like, but Cardale Jones also had the deep passing stuff. Like he could actually just like chuck it.
And he could do that. Yes,
Riley Leonard. Like you said, like if I'm just watching the game, I'm like Gunnar Stockton might be better than Riley Leonard. Riley Leonard's just the heart of the champion. You know, he was Haynes King against Georgia. That's what he did.
He just did
Haynes King against Georgia. Even though Haynes King, I think, threw for like 200
yards. Haynes
King
was great against Georgia. The problem for Haynes King was he didn't have Notre Dame's defense. He didn't have Riley Leonard's defense. Like Georgia doesn't beat Georgia Tech that night if you could give Haynes King the defense that he had. In fact, it's probably a blowout. As well as Notre Dame play. Yeah. Of course, the Carson Beck thing, Gunnar Stockton. There's all different variables.
I don't think there's that big of a difference between Stockton and Beck. Or at least the performance. Like, you could have told me that was Carson Beck that turned it over
yesterday. But there are certain things Georgia wasn't going to do in certain situations because they don't believe. Maybe it's their tackles, too, but the fact that they weren't trusting Gunnar Stockton to drop back.
I mean, like you said, they trust him at the end of the half for some reason.
Yeah, that was odd. It's 6-3. Just get to the half. Why do you think that particular offense on this day was going to drive the field for points?
A guy making his first start. Like, yeah, that's where I actually don't think there's – because they would have done the same thing with Beck. And maybe Beck has more awareness in the pocket
possibly.
And knows. But, like, it felt like they're just calling a regular Georgia game. They're protecting them a little bit. It was a little bit like we talked about where it was a little – Stetson Bennett, Jake Fromme, where it's like we're not asking him to do too much other than the, you know, kind of design Cash Jones wheel routes and the one to the one wide receiver who Kyle Pitts'd it and basically it hit his hands. He just threw it away from himself. Yeah,
that was awful. Funny, but awful.
I busted out laughing when saying that. It's like, oh, my God. I know that the receivers have had their struggles this year, I'll say. If I want to be charitable, I'll say that. If I want to be uncharitable, I would say, how does Georgia not have any good wide receivers?
Well, the two guys they tried to bring in, Ra-Ra Thomas and Colby Young, had legal issues. I think the Colby Young thing has been dropped, but those guys had major legal issues. They knew they had an issue at wide receiver. They brought a couple guys in, and they weren't around. So that's part of the issue. Of course, you ask Georgia, you can recruit in a lot of spots, but how come you can't recruit wide receivers? Well, I would think if you're a great wide receiver, do you play at Georgia? Their best receiver decided, I want to go play at Texas. A.D. Mitchell, after winning a national title, I believe, right? He goes, actually, I don't want to play here anymore. It's not good for my future. I'm out. And, of course, he got drafted pretty high. So maybe – as good as they've been, it's not a place for receivers. It's a place for tight ends and linemen. It's a place for skill position as the tight end. I mean, even their running backs are fine. They're not great. They don't have an elite running back.
They're not doing the Sony Michel
Nick Chubb. They haven't replicated that recently. Yeah. Injuries have been an issue, certainly, but they haven't found that big time five star back to translate to the college level. That's why they had to go get Trevor Etienne from Florida. He's fine. Yeah. He's a fine player.
Yeah, Etienne's good. Yeah. I just think that Georgia this year is just a weird team all in all. And maybe this is where you see some of the transfer portal stuff. Like you said, they had a wide receiver leave.
A couple.
Yeah, and that's where you see these teams at the top aren't like just completely overpowered, where they have zero holes, zero deficiencies anywhere, where, you know, there's Georgia guys that would have gone to Georgia that because of NIL or the transfer portal are now somewhere else.
Yeah, the SEC will push back. Well, Nick Saban did, because Shane Gillis, the Notre Dame alum and comedian, I don't know if he was an alum, but I know he's got Notre Dame ties. He made fun of Alabama for paying players in Nick Saban's face, and people are pointing out that now that the transfer portal is a thing and guys can get paid legally above board, that the dominance of the SEC is trickling away. Of course, the one SEC team that remains is 1 year in to their membership. They are what we know them as, Texas, more than we know them as the SEC school. And of course, before the SEC, they're in the Big 12. So maybe that is what is happening. The dominance of the SEC,
yeah,
slowly trickling, because they were the best at cheating.
Yeah.
And now nothing is cheating at this point. Even tampering is allowed because you can't really enforce it. And that now leads us to the likes of Notre Dame making a semifinal with, let's just say, a middling quarterback when it comes to playing against the best teams. Hell, they used defense, special teams, and the Duke quarterback to make a college football semifinal. And, of course, Drew Aller, pro prospect at Penn State. Quinn Ewers, not living up to the initial projections for him when he came out of high school, but pro prospect. But he's a good college quarterback, not overwhelming. There are flaws there, but on the college level, that's a good college quarterback. And then, of course, Will Howard's a transfer himself, who was at K-State, who was fine at K-State.
If we had to rank the quarterbacks left, the four quarterbacks left, just, and some of this is just present form,
the way they're playing now.
Yeah, I think I'd take Howard one.
Yes.
Some of that is like he gets to throw to Smith and Nabuka, but still.
Some of it.
But he still puts together some good throws.
Yes. The throw down the seam to Nabuka was a good throw. There's a lot of Jeremiah Smith where there's no one within 4 or 5 yards of him.
Yes.
And because of who he is as a player,
like
it doesn't matter if there's someone.
Get credit,
yeah,
for.
It doesn't matter if someone is on him. He'll just out-athlete them for the play. But Will Howard has done what Ohio State has needed him to do outside of the Michigan game. Not screw it up.
Yeah.
And maybe put a lot of that on Chip Kelly. So that's where we are. We got a Final Four, a lot of prestigious names and programs. The uniforms, the classic uniforms will be abound. And
the helmets.
Yeah. It's all, if you're a college football purist, yeah, it's weird to get this way, get here, because we've got transfer quarterbacks all over the place. But if you're a college football purists, the uniforms, the schools, it's what you would be looking for. No upstarts in this Final Four.
Get out of here. See ya, Boise State.
Yeah, all of a sudden, college football isn't a Southern Invitational anymore. Look at that. I know Texas, I wouldn't even consider Texas the South when we talk about the SEC, but yeah, you've got Penn State, Ohio State, Notre Dame, and Texas.
Yeah.
Look at that.
SEC finally stopped cheating, so now Texas can succeed.
Yeah, because Texas would never. Would never.
Back when people were paying players under the table.
Yes.
Texas was like, what?
Yeah, how did they get Ricky Williams out of San Diego?
Just visited the campus, loved it. Academic opportunity.
I bet that's how that happened. But sure. A new day, which means Penn State can, and James Franklin, of all people, can be in that semifinal.
Yeah,
He's really ruining our agenda.
I do think that, oh, by the way, whoever, I did think, when, especially once Notre Dame started pulling away, I was like, wow, Quinn Ewers, Drew Aller, Will Howard, Riley Leonard, one of them's going to be a champion.
Oof. But if it's your guy, the slander aside, that'll be great, right?
No, I just mean for like four guys that I don't know how complimentary we've been on the show.
That's true. Them.
I don't know who we've been the most complimentary.
Riley Leonard,
Aller.
Riley Leonard, we haven't talked that much about, to be honest.
That's true.
So I would say he
beating up on service academies. At ACC
Notre Dame's schedule hasn't been one where we've been focusing on them quite that much. We kind of took them off the radar once you lose to Northern Illinois. But hey, doesn't matter now.
Yeah, doesn't matter, Brian.
Does not matter at all.
Sugar Bowl, right? Yeah,
Sugar Bowl champions. And now in the semifinal. So we've gotten there. We'll see how it plays out once those games kick off. And if you aren't aware, you're going to be able to hear the semifinals here on ESPN 97.5. If you were driving around, you could hear the quarterfinal yesterday here. And we will continue to carry the college football playoff up until the national title game, where we will have that as well. So stay locked in with us if you are out and about on those game days, because we'll have it here for you on ESPN 97.5. Okay, there's a lot to get to beyond the college football playoff. The NBA was messy last night. NBA is always good for mess. So, Sean, I'll give you dealer's choice when we come back, or producer's choice in this case. Do we want to start with Barkley on Reddick, or do we start with how sad Jimmy Butler is and where he'll find his joy next, as he has officially let the Heat know he wants out? Where do you want to start with? Or what do you want to start with?
Give me Jimmy Butler losing his smile.
Yes, and we will come back and do a compare and contrast between Jimmy and another star player who was upset about where he was and what that sounded like, because what Jimmy did was very similar to what a certain Beard did on his way out. And the question will be, will the Heat trade Jimmy as quickly as the Rockets got James out of here once he had his final press conference? Because that happened really quickly. The Heat have let it be known through sources that no, they haven't gotten a trade offer and they weren't going to trade him, how Pat Riley made the statement. Now that Jimmy pulled a James move, kind of quitting on the court and then telling the world that ain't going to happen here, will they get him out of here before their next game? Because I think that's what the Rockets did, right? He didn't even, like, miss a game. They said, okay, beat it. You got to go. So we'll compare and contrast those two sound bites when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
A player that had Rocket speculation around him until the Rockets said, nah, we're good. They did it through reports. It's Jimmy Butler. He had destinations that he preferred. Now he doesn't really. He just wants out. I don't think the Rockets are going to be a team that are going to be into Jimmy Butler, and rightfully so. They should be shooting higher than the 35-year-old who is looking for, at least at this point, a max extension. Not a long one, but one that rips up next year's deal and gets them 2 years at max money. That is what he apparently wants. He won't be getting it from the Heat. Will he be getting it from anyone? That feels unlikely considering this play. He'll get money, but we're talking 50-plus million for the next 2 years. Feels unlikely. And he's not happy about what's going on. Here's Jimmy Butler after the game where he, once again, did not play in the fourth quarter of this time of a loss to the Indiana Pacers, where he was like a minus 27, shot the ball a couple times. But the man has lost his joy.
And I don't shoot the ball a lot, but we won't sit here and say that I don't play hard.
What will fix it? What do you want to see happen to fix it?
What do I want to see happen? I want to see me get my joy back from playing basketball. And wherever that may be, we'll find out here pretty soon. But I want to get my joy back. I'm happy here, off the court. But I want to be back to somewhere dominant. I want to hoop, and I want to help this team win. Right now, I'm not doing that.
Can you get your joy back here on the court?
Probably not.
So if you are someone who likes to dissect sound bites, a lot of conflicting stuff. Like, I want to help this team win, and then asked about, can you find your joy here? No, probably not. So you don't actually want to help this team win, and you didn't need his quotes for that. You can just look at his game. He's come back after an illness and an ankle tweak. He was, I guess you can say, benched or told or asked, maybe not asked, but he didn't play in the game against the Pelicans a couple nights ago. The Heat went with their young guys, went on a run, won the game. Last night, where they were struggling, he played 27 minutes on minus 27, shot the ball six times, didn't play in the fourth quarter. So he doesn't appear to be someone on the court who's looking to help his team win. The question is he capable of helping another team win? That's probably a yes. There's a yes to that. In what role? Because now he has an issue with his role. So you hear Jimmy Butler not officially wanting out through the media, at least with his own voice. Like 5 minutes later, 10 minutes after his presser, the Shams report pops up, and Jimmy Butler has let the Miami Heat know he wants out. He is a mercurial figure. It's tough to introduce him into your team without the thought of him blowing it up. He probably would be on his best behavior someplace because he wants his money, but yeah. I wouldn't take any of his words as bond when it comes to what's going to make him happy, because the money is going to make him happy. So we hear Jimmy Butler, sad Jimmy Butler,
looking to get his joy back.
Looking to get his joy back.
He is happy in Miami.
Off the court.
Off
the court. I do appreciate him throwing that in.
What is that, too? Like, I am happy.
Living. I love living here.
Here.
I just don't want to play here anymore.
You know how you love Miami and hate your job? That's me. Because my job's not going to pay me $50 million to be a 37-year-old basketball player.
No, it will next year. It's not. It hasn't agreed to pay me $50-plus million for two more years.
When I'm 38.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it was going to pay me at 36. It just hasn't agreed to pay me at 37 and 38. Because, you know, sometimes I'm just not available. Or I'm available and put up a minus 27.
Yeah, taking six shots.
Yeah, in a game where your team needs you. And you're supposed to be the star player. Okay, so that's one person who is very unhappy. Let's go back a couple years now. Let's compare Jimmy to James and see who was sadder. This is James Harden before he was traded from the Houston Rockets.
I mean, this situation is crazy. You know, it's something that I don't think can be fixed. So, thanks.
That was Fat Suit James. That was quitting in Sacramento James. This was a home game after they got beat on. And the Rockets were steadfast, much like the Heat were. Hey, we're not going to trade him until that presser, and then he was done. Now, that's a shorter clip. Jimmy went on for like 2 minutes or so, and a lot of stuff about him being unhappy with his role. James pretty much said, hey, we can't win a title here. I want to go. I'll ask you this. Two different organizations. Daryl Morey. Was he still the GM?
Yeah. No, this was Stone.
Stone. Daryl Morey had already departed.
He resigned to spend more time with his family, and then went to be the GM of the Sixers.
Yes. So, Rafael Stone. Rafael Stone, at that time in his career, much different profile than Pat Riley. He got rid of James quickly. To some people, it was great. They got draft picks, and they're benefiting from that fact to this day. James was still in his prime, under contract for longer. I think he was just recently signed to Max, I think, pretty close to that.
Yeah, I think he had 2 or 3 years left.
Jimmy's a different ballgame, although he could opt in for next year. Do you think he's traded like James was, like, before the next game? Or do you think, I guess there's a couple options. Does he get traded before the next game? Do they suspend him for conduct detrimental, or just tell him to stay home and don't suspend him? Because he, in the Shams article, said he wants to continue doing all the basketball activities. He just doesn't want to play for Miami anymore, but until a trade happens, he will continue to do all the things he needs to do. That's just agent speak for my client's going to be available.
Yeah,
can't find him.
Yeah, I was going to say, we're not going to break rules.
Yeah, you can't find him because he's going to be available. Do you think their next game is tomorrow against the Jazz?
Or Saturday, yeah.
Against the Jazz. Do you think he plays?
I don't think he plays in that game.
But he's still on the roster.
I don't think he's traded, yeah.
I don't know how you play him.
Oh, you definitely don't play. I mean, at the very least, you like suspend them, like you said, conduct detrimental, whatever.
Or
yeah, healthy scratch.
Or you come to an agreement that until we can find a trade partner, he doesn't play. Because the reporting from Miami sources is now that the Heat weren't looking to trade him, but they want to get this done as quickly as possible. So they have moved off of, we won't trade him, like Pat Riley said, to this has to change.
I wonder what their expectations for a Jimmy Butler trade is.
Well,
because like you mentioned with no one, you imagine there's no team that is banging down his door to sign him to the deal he wants, that if you're trading for him, you're probably trading for him with the understanding that like this might just be a rental. Right? Like, there's no one that's like
so that would...
That's like, the thing with James Harden back then. Like, there's a bidding war for James Harden.
But he told pretty much anyone who needed to know, it's two teams. Jimmy knows he's in a different situation, appears like at least his agent does. So he has opened it up from that preferred list to anywhere but Miami. Maybe that's just him insulting Miami. But now 29 other teams can get involved. That doesn't mean 29 other teams are actually involved.
There's already one GM that's like, nah, we're good.
Yeah. So 28 right now.
And one that would make the most, or not the most sense, but one of the most sense.
That would make the most sense for certainly the team trying to make the trade.
Yeah,
would be the Heat saying, hey, Rockets, we got young guys. We could take on some salary. That'll work. But they're off the table. I think it's going to be more difficult than people think to get this done.
I do. I think that's why I think it's going to take a while. It's just that it's like hard. It's just hard to make trades now. Like all the teams that would be interested or that are theoretically could be interested. It's a situation where it's like, it's so hard for the Denver Nuggets to make a trade. It's so hard for the Warriors. We talked about the Warriors the first time he demanded a trade, and Bernie Lee pushed back against Jams. Did Bernie Lee, let me look at, see if Bernie Lee.
I don't know if Bernie Lee has apologized to
Shams. You're fake news,
Shams. I don't know if he's apologized to Shams or he said, hey, man, you're still wrong about this. It feels like...
Now I want out. Yeah. Now you're right. Before you're wrong.
All that sourcing you did before, wrong. Now, like a week and a half, 2 weeks later, right. I don't know where Bernie Lee is going to land, but we know who won this battle.
Yeah.
Shams comes out ahead of Bernie Lee here. So
I'm still trying to think of teams that are...
It's tough when you think about the age, the money he is owed. Even if he opts in, is anyone looking to pay 36-year-old Jimmy Butler $50 million plus?
Yeah.
That's even if he just takes the deal that he signed.
You kind of have to be a team that's like ready to go for it.
Yeah, and
so
willing to give up salary, which may not be that difficult, but compensation the Heat would want. So
could the Clippers do it?
Who are they giving up?
I don't know.
So you would have to.
I'm looking for suitors.
Yeah, that's going to be Pat Riley's problem and Jimmy's problem. Who wants anywhere but Miami? So
Nick Batum, Mo Bamba.
That was the messiness on the player side.
Terrence Mann. No, I can't trade Terrence Mann.
No, I can't. Untradeable.
PJ Tucker's still on the Clippers. What?
Still waiting for a place to go.
Oh well, okay. So now,
but Jimmy's one of his boys. He doesn't want to get traded for Jimmy to go to LA. He wouldn't want to go join Jimmy someplace. So that's where we are with the messiness there. I'm sure this will play out. I don't think the Heat will get a deal done quickly just because they'll try, but it's going to be tough. We might be having a saga here. But there was other messiness, and we'll get to that when we come back because Charles Barkley has some thoughts about J.J. Redick. The continuing drumbeat of the NBA is unwatchable because of threes got J.J. Redick upset. He took a shot at media members, not by name, but Charles Barkley thought he was talking about him. So Charles Barkley has some thoughts on the Lakers overall and J.J. Redick in particular. So we'll hear that when we come back. But first, let's talk about a place where you can put some money down for the games this weekend. Maybe you like the Texans to win because you think C.J. Stroud's going to play, or maybe you just think the Titans stink. A lot of games that mean nothing. So MyBookie is your chance to make them mean something. Go to MyBookie.ag and put some money down, whether it be the NBA, the NFL, hockey, soccer. It's all there for you at MyBookie. They will have a 50% match up to $1,000. So, hey, you want to put $400 in? Just trying it out. You'll get $200 extra to spend or bet. That's pretty cool. So, we've got college basketball this weekend to take a look at. we have the casino option as well. So if you like playing cards, it's there for you. It's all there for you at MyBookie. You got a big game, maybe the best game of the season, Lions, Vikings, that's something to check out as well. I give you so many options because that's what MyBookie does. They want you to place your bet and make the games more fun. Remember, use that promo code BET975 to take advantage. You can check out all they have to offer at MyBookie.ag. And remember, you can bet on anything, anywhere, anytime with MyBookie.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Dale Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Dale. Dell, no, that's okay. That's on me. I went more country with it. My bad, Dell.
That is Michael Carroll. He'll join us at 11.30. And that was a product of Sean thinking I wasn't going to get back on time, it feels like. That's generally his go-to. I was just in the other room. I was keeping track this time. We will get to the Charles Barkley stuff in a little bit, but Pena wants to ask a non-sports question. What's up, Pena?
Yo, what up, Dale? Hey, man. So I got a question for you, and I have a follow-up question afterwards. So let's say two of your favorite athletes from any sport, whatever, two of your favorite athletes and your one favorite actor or actress, they're all a group of friends. They text you. They say, "Hey, Dale, come hang out with us." What are the chances of you going hanging out? Is there a yes or no? Are you going to go hang out with them?
So the scenario is, favorite actor, actresses asked me to come hang out. Would I hang out?
Yes,
I would.
Okay. So now my follow-up question is, they ask you, "Hey, come hang out with us," but Lance Zierlein is going to be there. Is it still a yes, or is it going to be a no now?
How much time do I actually have to spend with Lance?
I don't know.
Do I have to talk to him?
I don't know what y'all are doing. I guess. I don't know. I mean, just hanging out. I don't know. You're at the bar or something.
See,
watching a game.
Let's just say there are four other people besides Lance. Two actors, two actresses, and Lance. There's enough buffer where I don't have to hang out with him or talk to him that much, that's still a yes for me. I mean, there is enough
of
a divide. Yes. I mean, you're giving me people I've never met before and may never meet as a reason to go. So, yeah, I'm still going to go. Lance doesn't deter me from that. But if you gave me, like, hey, a couple of your favorite athletes or, hey, Michael Jordan and Magic Johnson, say, hey, man, you want to come hang out, but Lance is there? No, I'm staying home. I don't care about
that's all I have, man. Have a great vacation. Peace out.
Well, I just came back from vacation, but I appreciate you for my next one.
Yeah.
Maybe in February. I might take a week off then. So I appreciate that. Yeah, the Lance thing ain't great for me.
Who'd be on the list?
That's a tough thing to come up with very quickly. I don't make lists. I'd have to think about it.
Okay.
Because you know you got to turn off your man brain for a second and go, yeah, she's attractive, but do you want to talk to her for an hour? Yeah, you got to turn that off. So I'd have to think about it. So I appreciate the prompt. Maybe I'll have an answer at the end of the show. We will see.
Maybe in time for the Michael Carroll segment.
Do I lean into childhood crushes who have aged well, or do I go with women who?
Let's get a little salsa on the phone.
Or do I go with women who, as I've gotten older, I like now. I don't know. We will see. I mean, I grew up watching a lot of CW, WB stuff, so that might be where I lean into if I go with childhood crushes.
It's just women from the CW and WB, also Dwayne Wade.
If I was talking about childhood crushes, but I'm not sure where I go. Maybe I have a list a little bit later. Okay, let's get to this before we go to break. Charles Barkley, Inside the NBA, great show, but is taking some criticism because they don't appear to be proponents of the way the game is played today. I think they're the voice of a lot of people who can't stand the way threes have become such an important part of the game. J.J. Redick in comments earlier didn't name anyone by name. He didn't specifically go, these are the guys who are making the game not attractive to fans. But he said, how come we don't have guys who are pushing the positives of the game and talking about how great the game is? We have a lot of people with prominent voices taking shots at the game, which is something others have said because you don't see that in the other sports. Now, there is no show like Inside the NBA for the other sports, but you can't tune in to Countdown on Sundays for the NFL on ESPN or NFL Network and listen to guys talk about how crappy the product is. It's not how the NFL works. I don't watch MLB Network, but I imagine that's not how they do it there. NHL Network, even less likely for me to be watching. Don't think they do it there. But once again, no show like Inside the NBA. So here is Inside the NBA last night, unprompted. Charles Barkley had thoughts on J.J. Redick and the Lakers.
Hey, J.J. Redick says something about me. J.J., you better calm down, because when you come for the king, you better not miss.
Did he name you specifically, or was he just talking about folks on TV?
What did he say? He said something about we're the reason people ain't watching this crappy product we got. That's J.J. Us, like we out there jacking up 103s a night. J.J., I don't know, Jason Monroe, I don't know who that is, but J.J., if you come for the king, you better not miss. Because I can get you, brother, because I got your Lakers games. You can't hide them flaws they got. You just a dead man walking. They got rid of Frank Vogel, who did a good job. They got rid of Darvin Ham, who did a good job. If you came out there thinking you were going to change things with that same ugly girl you went on the date with.
64-51 was your halftime score. Lakers, as we get back to the highlights. And Rudy Gobert.
So he came in there thinking, I can make this thing work. Hell, you can.
77-71.
Put the makeup on that pig.
Man, the Lakers are a pig.
The Lakers stink, man.
Oh, man, okay. Where was
come on, man.
Tatum, by the way, has
38-9.
Would you say put some makeup? Put some makeup on that pig. I'm J.J. Redick. I can make this thing work.
No, way to go, Ernie. 94.
Be a professional, Ernie.
I'm being a professional. You come for me. You better not miss.
We heard that already.
Okay.
That's a Tatum.
Why come for you? I missed it.
About, we're the reason ratings are down.
Oh, we're the reason.
We're the reason. Like we planned.
We're only on an hour a day.
Well, hey, listen.
We're only on
Shaq,
an hour a week.
That's exactly right. If me and Shaq played, then the ratings would be down.
Look at Derek White.
But in fairness, if me and Shaq played, we'd be like the third or fourth best players on that Laker team right now.
That is the last gasp for Minnesota.
LeBron AD did. Chuck, get in the game. Chuck, get in the game. Damn bombs out there. What?
I do appreciate
it's Frank Vogel and Darvin Ham's fault.
Trying to power through and get to highlights of the game they had, which was a compelling game, Boston and Minnesota. It is interesting that that was going on while Charles was talking, because I believe they combined for like 103 pointers taken in that game, which would make a lot of people's points. But it was a close one. Yeah. Going after Charles and when he has this type of platform, it's tough. J.J. tried to avoid naming him specifically, but Charles said, yeah, you're talking about me. So that's what happened last night. I told you it was messy. It was messy last night. This one wasn't fun. The sound we played earlier is just putting an entire franchise in flux. But as far as Charles and J.J. Redick and the Lakers, he's right. The Lakers aren't good. J.J. Redick's like, hey, I used to be one of you guys. Now look at me. I got yelled at for 2 minutes by Charles Barkley.
I mean, the fact it is, he is yelling at him during a completely unrelated game featuring good teams.
Which speaks to J.J.'s point. Yes. J.J.'s not wrong. When Charles decided to ignore the highlights in front of him of a game that came down to the wire, where
it was the last second shot by Anthony Edwards,
you know, one of the NBA's next great players missed a chance to tie the game against the defending champions. Charles, JJ's kind of right. You illustrated this point. I'm not saying you weren't funny.
Yeah, no, it was funny. It was
but
good
he's not,
TV.
But you didn't make him sound wrong when it comes to you criticizing the product. Now, is Charles Barkley the reason ratings are down? Probably not. It may have more to do with the product than Charles Barkley's commentary on the product. But when you are a part of the game, I think you're just looking for people to promote the game in a positive way. And because of that voice that they have, you could criticize them for not doing enough, I guess.
Yeah.
Or you could say they are actually an additive to a product that ain't great. I guess it depends on which side you fall on.
I mean, if it is going to be the only like studio show that people like in sports, it would probably be helpful for the NBA if they didn't just take a giant crap on the NBA every time they had a chance. Like that, in that way, like they are hurt. They're not helping.
Yeah, they talk about the NBA like I would actually say a regular person does.
Yeah.
Because when we watch the other shows, they're not talking about the NBA like anyone else would do off air. You're, I don't know if you want to call it the barbershop or just around your friends. Like, you will take shots at people. It ain't – sports conversations don't tend to be positive. It's like either I love my team and I hate your team, or my team sucks and I wish my team was like your team. It's a lot of that stuff going on. So, yes, if it was off air, it would sound exact. What they're doing sounds exactly what we do off air. Hell, we'll do some of that on air too. But you ain't hearing that from Dan Orlovsky. You ain't hearing the NFL sucks from the guys on ESPN. Mike Greenberg's not talking about how bad the NFL is.
Like, think about like if for the first 6 weeks of the NFL season, every show has just been like, how do we fix this awful product?
And this is, you know, the NFL, I guess, had some of that with the cover two and explosive plays being down. You know, passing yards are down earlier in the season.
That was 2 weeks.
Yes, but it wasn't railing about how bad the NFL as a whole was. It was more talking about how quarterbacks and explosive plays are down, and that was analyzing the game, but not crapping all over it. I don't mind it, honestly. I watch the games, and I'm not bothered by the conversation about the threes.
Because the thing is, like with like the threes, like you'd replacing those with shots that happen like three steps in.
True.
Like that was most of NBA watching in the 2000s was
no spacing.
It was just jump shots from 19 feet instead of 23.
Yes. Now, were you hunting mid-range jumpers all the time? Probably not as much as you are threes. So you'd like to see some variety in actions. You'd like to see...
Dump it down low to Al Jefferson a couple times.
Sure. Everyone loves a post game until you remember how bad that looked.
Watching Dwight Howard in the post,
yeah,
you're just like, oh my God. Yeah.
Well, you remember the days when Dwight Howard was complaining about lack of touches?
Yeah. And by the way, they played on a team that shot a bunch of threes.
Yes. And he was a guy who didn't fit because, hey, I'm Dwight Howard, give me more touches. And everyone's like, we've seen you in the post. You're a roller. Why would we throw it down to you? That's not how you win basketball games in the NBA.
You know who's not going to complain about getting post-up touches? Clint Capella. Bring him in.
Exactly. Let's accentuate our best player, Harden, and get you out of here. And that was how the Rockets operated for years, and things have certainly changed since. Okay, messy night in the NBA. Interesting to get to. We'll get to some NFL stuff because the Texans do have a game that feels inconsequential, but they're going to play it. And at the moment, it feels like their important players are going to play. We talked about why we thought that's a bad idea yesterday, but it doesn't matter what we think. They have different ideas. We have not mentioned, at least on this show, that a prominent Texan is back. He spoke to the media a couple days ago now, but Azeez Al-Shaair is back. He had a statement about what he talked to the NFL about. We'll get to that. And we know CJ's not had a great year. We will talk about where he ranks, at least according to one report, in the quarterback rankings for teams who are either in the playoffs or still alive for the playoffs. We'll do that when we come back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.